Time now for a sound check session with St. Paul and the Broken Bones, recorded before their recent Richmond show as they get set to play at Rooster Walk in Martinsville, Virginia, this Saturday.
All right, it's Jeff Sweatman for WNRN, and we're thrilled to be joined by Paul, a.k.a. St. Paul. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Thanks for doing this. It's been a while since you've been through Virginia. Does it feel like?
We did about 2 years ago. We did Richmond Jazz Festival. So, yeah, we've been around.
Yeah, we've been playing the singles off the newest self-titled record. And I know you worked with, is it E.G. White, or does he actually go by Egg White?
Egg White. Egg White. That's what he goes by.
That's what I was hoping. Okay. Maybe folks have seen his name in the credits for like Adele and Sam Smith and all kinds of UK pop stars. What was it like working with him on the newest self-titled record?
It was great. I feel like I found like a kindred spirit for sure. He was great to work with. Really, really, really brilliant songwriter and producer, and it was he had actually not produced the band in a very long time, but me and him had written some songs together, and we just kind of felt like it was the right thing. And he's really truly a master of the craft.
Yeah. So what is that like when you guys write songs? Is it a full band endeavor? Do you kind of bring the initial kernel of the idea into the group? Or I'm particularly curious about the horn and the string arrangements you guys do that are so fantastic.
That varies many ways up the mountain.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We as a band will get together and do some things. Producer can help with arrangements. Horn players and can come up with parts and all that stuff. It's really just for us what services the song the best, like what makes the song the best song. And
gotcha.
That's really, so we don't really care how it gets there. Just
gotcha.
Get it there.
Yeah, for sure. And I got to ask about Sushi and Coca-Cola. You know, that's one when we bring a song in, you know, and listen to it as a group for the first time, everybody just had a smile on their face, you know. How did that those two topics even enter the songwriting room?
It was it was during the pandemic, and I have she's now 5-year-old daughter and my wife, and I was sitting in the living room, and as you do, you take little notes, you know, you put little notes in your phone, like, oh, something about that registered for me. And I was eating some takeout sushi and having a Mexican Coca-Cola. And I was like, you know, it doesn't really kind of get better than this. And it was kind of a little memory. So I had it in my notes, and me and Egg were in London, and we were writing, and this little thing popped up, and I was like, I have this idea. What do you think? And he was game. He was like, it sang well. It like worked. It works for the song. But it's one of those that like initially, because people were just like, that's kind of an odd combination. I was like, I hear you, but that's what I was having at the time. And so that's where the song was birthed. And so it's a pretty cool thing that now, like, that's a song that people listen to.
I love it. Yeah. Based on a true story, we can
say now, right?
Yeah. Because I know, you know, with songwriting, it is tricky sometimes because you don't want to make stuff too factual, probably, or too out of your diary. But at the same time, you got to kind of make it work with your life experience, right?
Right. Well, I think for me, it's like there's kernels of truth, right? Like that song in particular, like there are kernels of truth in that. But it's not fully, like it's not like I just wrote it down from an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always pieces. Any song, like, there's always pieces of you in it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not always necessarily like, oh, that's all, that whole thing talk. Like, it's obvious we're talking about, like, a crappy sushi restaurant that, you know what I mean? Like, that's the setting.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily all the case, you know what I mean? But that, it just worked. And, like, there's weird lines in that song. Like, is there a dolphin on the wall? Plastic bouquet. Like, it's trying to convey, like, hey, this is a cheaper style or sushi restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And that's not, I don't think I've ever seen a dolphin on a wall or a plastic bouquet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Thank you. your fingers to the bone. It's the wrong kind of smile. So many troubles, could we leave them back at home? Once in a while. Yes, I got the table for us. Long day, but still we got the night before us. Let's stay. Let's just keep it simple. Sushi and Coca-Cola. Thank you.
gonna see who can count, who can't count tonight. We'll see who we all out there can count and not count. Y'all ready? Is everybody ready out there? Four times. I want y'all to do a big favor for me right now. Please give a big round of applause to one of the best bands in the land right here. Please give it. Good job, everybody. Yes, absolutely. Sushi and Coca-Cola. Be back. Get it on. So fast. Who knew I could tap the pistol? Trust me. To say I'm cold. Sushi and Coca-Cola.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones are playing Rooster Walk at Pop's Farm in Martinsville this Saturday. Rooster Walk is underway today, goes through the weekend. You can learn more at roosterwalk.com. Here's more of our interview with St. Paul from backstage in Richmond a few weeks ago on WNRN.
Well, and I know you've written some songs about your daughter in terms of parenthood and trying to reflect, you know, like we're saying, real life into your songs and dealing with kind of the touring life and being away from your family. How do you kind of navigate all that?
Well, that's probably the toughest thing to navigate.
Yeah.
It has its advantage in that when I'm home, I'm home, and I get to be dad and husband and don't really have a lot of other responsibilities. So that part's nice. But it has its, yeah, it definitely has its price. But, I mean, as terrible as it sounds, I told someone a while back with my family history, if my daughter's telling a therapist 20 years from now that my dad wasn't home that much, then that's probably a win in our family. So, you know what I mean? If that's the worst thing she can say about me.
Right.
I have my moments for sure. Where I miss them, and it's like, but the other thing is like, what else would I do? Like, this is what I do. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've built this skill for 14 years. Like, I can't go do any, I can't go be a surgeon or something like that. Like, it's so I'm like, this is what I do. And so,
yeah.
So that's just kind of part of it.
Yeah. I thought too, Paul, we'd go through kind of album to album. And if it's possible to kind of remember the mindset of you or the band kind of going into the debut album, Half the City.
Well, there was no mindset. There was just hold on, you know, and maybe we'll get some songs. I mean, I didn't even have lyrics done when we were recording that record.
Wow.
Cause we, you know, we had been a band at that point. What was it? We started in July. We recorded that in January. So we, July of 2012, and recorded it in January of 2013. So that's how long we had been a band.
Wow.
And then, yeah. And so there was no, it was just like, well, we'll see, you know, like we'll put this down. So there was no mentality of like, oh, we wanted to sell out a 200 cap room in Birmingham, and that was in Alabama, and that was it.
Hmm. And then moving on, you know, with all the success of that first album, Sea of Noise, that's a little bit, those sophomore albums are tricky, right?
It is. It actually is crazy how hard, because you're in demand, so you're touring all the time, but they're like, hey, we need a second record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when? Do you know what I mean? Like, when do you find time? And so we fit it in, and we had such a hard time writing that record because we had a hard time figuring out what we wanted to tell our audience and what we were, because we felt like half the city was like, oh, retro soul and like this thing. And we were like, okay, well, can we convey a little bit more than that? You know, and it's more, it is a bit of a more social album, which was at the time felt important. And honestly, that's a lot of people's favorite record. Yeah, but it was hard. That was a hard one. That's the hardest one we've ever had to make.
Wow. And then moving on to Young Sick Camellia. Any thoughts going back to that one?
That one was a little easier to make. I had had this kind of grand thing of writing a 3-album continuum thing, which is, it's still unfinished, I guess, at this point.
Okay.
But
so that was part of a trilogy?
That was part of a trilogy mentally.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And it was like, because my grandfather starts the album off talking, and then kind of familial ties and things like that. And it was going to be, then I was going to do like sky, earth, and cave. And so I even have like tracks on there that are supposed to be connected to the next record. But as things go, you start it and then you go, all right, not going to happen. Or, you know, maybe it will one day. It would be fun to finish that concept.
Yeah, kind of an open-ended thing. I get it. That's cool. The next 2 records, you know, The Alien Coast, Angels in Science Fiction, do you feel like they're kind of, I don't know, I'm thinking subject matter, I guess, but an overall sound.
I think Alien Coast felt like, for us, how far can we take this musically? Is very experimental, I mean, there's a disco song on there, there's some really odd stuff in there, and I think we ourselves had to express that. As any band, you know, you go through these things and you're like, I just, you know, I have to express this for some reason. You do that, and it kind of, the concept was kind of like this kind of fever dream psychedelic thing, and then at the end I wake up. And then Angels in Science Fiction is probably the only like side mission record, because I was becoming a dad, we had just written Alien Coast, and so like it was 3 months later we wrote that record.
Wow.
And I just, you know, we were going through the pandemic, I was becoming a father for the first time, all of these things, like you didn't know what world she was coming into, we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And so it was honestly one of the only records we've ever made that I was like, should we even release this to the public? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's where, and we did, we ended up doing it, and you know, hindsight being 2020, probably should have released them all together in a way. Mm-hmm. But we were like, it was the pandemic, so you're like, well, you can't tour on this,
right?
So that was very complicated to go through. Probably one of the few, I don't want to say mistakes. The record's not a mistake, but just how you release it and go through it was probably one of the very few do-overs I'd like to have.
Okay. Yeah, and love the insights and kind of taking us back through This Is Your Life here a little bit.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
And then the self-titled record, you know, I always love when the reviews or whatever, and you guys probably get a kick out of this, when it's like Return to Form or whatever, you know, rediscovering or whatever. But I've always appreciated about that about you guys is you do have these, because there are, you know, you guys listen to music, you're fans of music. There's a lot of retro soul bands or whatever you want to call them out there. Thanks in part to the success you guys have had, I want to say, give you some credit. But you guys, you weren't just stuck in the 60s mentality of the sound. Because some bands, that like the artwork and the liner notes and the whole thing is just right in that era, and that's cool. But, you know, you all have 70s influences and 80s influences, and just you're trying. I was wondering how hard that is to balance those, kind of making it modern, but you're also paying tribute to your influences and kind of that classic sound too.
I do think that anytime, obviously, anytime you're going to carry horns, like that's that just comes with something.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really make a Nirvana record if you're bringing horns, right?
Yeah.
So it brings a certain thing. And so we early, it's very easy to kind of, we early on got tagged with the retro soul thing, and we were just kind of like, that's not us.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not just us.
Right.
And so you feel this constant need to prove something. And now we're at the point, we don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we just don't care. Like, I've said, especially about this latest record, what I've said is, I think we were striving to be a 3 Michelin star restaurant, you know? And now I think we're comfortable. Like, it is a reset in a lot of ways, a rebirth, in that we now are like, we just want to be the local barbecue shop down the street that's just really good. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the transition we've made. At the end of the day, I just want to write great songs. And I feel like, especially working with Egg and going through that process, that there's still that ignited something within me about that. And so however that song sounds or whatever, don't really care. You know, obviously it's got to live in our world.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, it's like anything. We've been doing this for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like now it's a career. And I get to look back at those other records and be like, you know, I'm pretty proud of that. Like, yeah. There's not a lot of bands that get away with that. You know what I mean? But now I do have a love affair of, like, great songwriting. And maybe in the past, maybe vibe was a little bit more important.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When you make a vibe record, now I'm like, how do you make great songs, great songwriting in that more classic sense? Not maybe there's a little bit of more modern pop. There's some stuff to glean in there. But anyway, yeah, but that's I think that's where I'm at mentally now, but that could change tomorrow.
Sure. We're talking with Paul of St. Paul and the Broken Bones. It's a WNRN Presents show tonight in Richmond, Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden. You know, along the lines of what you were just saying there, so does the mission statement of the album kind of come first and then you write songs around that, or do you sort of wait and let the theme kind of reveal itself?
Well, I think that's been the transition. I think when there's been times early on, it's like, this is the arch of the record, right? And we're going to write towards that. Like, this is the concept or whatever. Now, this last record is the first time in the band's history, first time we just said, best song wins. That's it. No, like, overarching thing, best song wins. And that's the first time we've ever done that. And that felt really kind of refreshing in a lot of ways, because you're just like, all the records to some degree were concept records. And this is probably the only one that's like, I mean, Half the City wasn't, because Half the City, we didn't know what we were doing. But this one, it was just refreshing to be like, best song wins. If trombone player writes a song that, and then we think it's great, that wins. You know what I'm saying? And that was refreshing. And I think we're still kind of on that path. But I guess you just never know.
That's St. Paul of St. Paul and the Broken Bones. They just played Richmond recently. Here's a full band performance from that show at Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden as they get set to play Rooster Walk in Martinsville, Virginia, this Saturday.
You love me and you always did and you always will, and I'm running on. I'll fix it the next song. Just kidding, please let me be the smart one for me. Don't stop beating till you hear what's coming on. Love me as a nightmare in that fountain. When the spring of summertime, your beauty's shining. I can't wait to get old and just talk to you. Oh, I miss you, baby. Hey.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones are playing Rooster Walk at Pop's Farm in Martinsville this Saturday. Rooster Walk is underway today, goes through the weekend. You can learn more at roosterwalk.com. Here's more of our interview with St. Paul from backstage in Richmond a few weeks ago on WNRN.
Well, and I always try to ask if there's time for, you know, your own personal band highlights or your highlights as you've gone through as a band. Like, to me, I always think of, you know, the big festivals or playing on TV, or you would think as a fan, and then sometimes the band has their own separate set of like, oh no, we did that thing or we met that person.
Right.
Or, Do you guys have any, like, I know it's hard to distill 14 years down 14 to a couple years. Of highlights, but
that is, they're a thing. I forget stuff now. Yeah. They're like, oh, I'm like, oh yeah, we did that. That is pretty cool. I mean, there are things that always stick out to me. I mean, I always go back to, there's one piece of memorabilia I have. I don't want to museum to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that yeah. just feels strange. But the one thing I do have is there was a club in Birmingham called Bottle Tree Cafe. And it had so many cool indie acts coming there, way cooler than we could ever imagine to be. But I interned there for a little bit. And me and Jesse, who the bass player in this band, are the co-founders of the band. And that's how we hung out there all the time. So our goal was to sell out a show. When we first started this band, that was the only goal. And there's at the back of a guest list they had to put sold out on, and they put it on a door, and I have that framed. And that is to me like the prize possession, because that was the goal. Now everything else has been kind of gravy, but it is a nice little reminder of like that feeling was pretty amazing. And yes, we've gotten to do a lot of cool things that I'm sure people think are amazing. But that's what I always kind of mentally go back to.
That's cool. Well, and I've gotten to interview John Paul White a couple times in my radio career.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. So I don't know, you know, sometimes I get in trouble asking stuff like this. But, you know, I mean, that was an important part of the early part of the band, right?
Oh, 100%.
Single Lock Records.
Oh,
and
man, that was
John and
John, JP and Ben Tanner and Will Tratt, all that. I mean, that was so vital to our beginning.
I feel like it really put Muscle Shoals kind of back on the map. And
it
people
was
realized.
It really was amazing. Yeah, yeah. I felt very cool to have a small part in that. No, I didn't grow up in Muscle Shoals, but some of the guys in the band did. And it was cool. You get into business with each other, and, you know, business is business. But that's probably only one of the very few times where it did feel somewhat like family. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's honestly very rare, you know, especially now. We've been doing it like, it's been, you know what I mean? It gets very business-like, and there's nothing wrong with that. But even with those guys, I did something for JP or John Paul in Muscle Shoals over the holidays. He does like a holiday thing.
Okay.
And I'm not great at this, but I do my best to like do one thing a year for somebody. You know what I mean? Like, could you get asked to do those things, right? And he's asked me so many times, and it just didn't work. And I was like, I've got to, like, of all people, I love him. I love what he did for, I'm appreciative of what they all did for us. I mean, they gave us a tour van, and we put like 120,000 miles on it in a year.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, we destroyed that van, you know? And I will know that was in the beginning. That was just so, it's so funny. Cause like, We moved on, and we were like, well, should we buy the van from them? And then we were like, I don't think we've been in a van since then. You know what I mean? Like, it's been bus from then on. So.
Yeah.
So, but that poor van, we definitely abused it. But I'm just a grateful. Yeah, it did. And you know, it's funny because this last record, we went and recorded it at Fame. And it was this nice – it's funny for us financially. This is – little inside baseball. It is cheaper for us to go up there and record because we have people who live there. So we just stayed at their houses.
Oh, okay.
And the studios are very affordable compared to Nashville. And they're world-class studios.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things like, and if you're an artist out there, like there's a city rebate.
Mm.
So it's, if you're a touring band and like that, man, it is significantly cheaper and more economical to go more economic to go up there.
Huh. Yeah, that's wild. Well, just as we were talking here, I thought of one last thing. We'll let you go. So Billy Strings, you may have seen on social media, actually broke his leg trying to do a skateboard trick as he went up for his encore in Charlottesville the other night at the arena. And so, you know, we love Billy Strings and play him a lot too. And our members and our listeners just really love him. So that we all were, you know, hoping he was okay, first of all, but then we were all kind of chuckling about it. Like, what is he doing that? So now I'm thinking of St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Have you all ever broke any bones on tour?
We have. We've had a few people. We had one person break their ankle in Amsterdam.
Oh, no.
It was bad. I had to send them back home.
Hopefully they got a good story out of it, though. I
don't think it's a good story. They just broke their ankle on the cobblestone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, nothing rock and roll about it.
Nothing in the red light district.
I think it was late at night, and I think he was trying to eat some, I think it was Chinese food. And he just fell and broke his ankle. And so we had to send it back. And then the best one, or the scariest one, is we still have a mystery. We had somebody, our bass player, break his jaw.
Oh, geez.
In the middle of the night. And we still have no clue. He doesn't know because nobody knows.
Wow.
So we were like getting our CSI kits out, like on the bus. He just comes up from the bus and he just wakes up. He's like, man, I don't feel good. He's got blood coming from his. It was so horrifying. And we're like, Jesse, what happened?
There's your aliens
Exactly, exactly. We're like, what happened? And he said, man, I don't know. I mean, it must have knocked him out. We don't know. We still don't know. But he, to his credit, he played 3 more shows with a broken jaw.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Does he play hockey by chance?
He does play hockey. Okay, yeah, he loves playing hockey. But it wasn't that. We don't know. I don't know, you know, I don't know if he had a few too many. And
wow.
And we still don't know. We have no clue.
Well, be careful out there the rest of the tour and enjoy this lovely botanical garden here. It's beautiful. I don't know if you guys have ever been here before.
We have. I love Richmond. Is just sincerely one of my favorite kind of like cities. It's got that small town feel. Like I went to Pearly. We always go to Pearly's for lunch. And then I think I went to Garnett's last night. I was like, this is a full-on sandwich. Nice. Extravaganza.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks for the time. It's Paul from St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Thanks for having me.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones are playing Rooster Walk at Pop's Farm in Martinsville this Saturday. Here's the full band, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, performing recently in Richmond at Lewis Ginter Botanical Garden.
I saw the light. guitar.